story of Jesus, because what I'm going to talk about today is part of that story. To talk about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just a short month ago, the religious world, part of the religious world, celebrated the birth of Christ. And it is a noteworthy celebration. What a wonderful thing to happen. God sending His Son into the world, and the way He did it and how He did it is what we want to talk about this morning. Because I think when we talk about how God did this, we learn a little bit more about the God we serve and how He brings forth the things to us that we would need to know. This holiday is over, and the world now is probably forgotten, and that doesn't come to mind. But we remember our Lord every Sunday morning. We remember Jesus, not only His birth, but every aspect, every detail about His life, and then lastly, obviously, His death, burial, and resurrection. There's some certain things that I'd like to bring out as far as what was taking place, the people and the places and the events that were happening for the birth of Christ. You have to remember that 400 years had passed, if we look at the Old Testament, from the time the last book of the Bible was written to this opening of the New Testament, of the Gospels, 400 years had passed. God had not sent any prophets. He had not spoken through any other vehicles. No angelic activities were taking place. Nothing for 400 years. But at this time, 400 years later, all these things were starting to happen. First of all, there was a couple in Nazareth named Joseph and Mary. We're going to talk about them a little bit. That was one of the events that was taking place. Two, there was an old priest and his wife that were way beyond his wife was way beyond childbearing years. But yet, she was going to have a child. Number three, there were some men way out, we don't know where, but someplace thinking in the Orient, that had seen a star. And because of their studies of writings and of what they knew about the cosmos, they were astronomers, they saw a star, and they recognized it as something special that they needed to address. Number four, there were shepherds tending their sheep that were going to be addressed by an angel. This is what's going to happen for the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read Matthew, the first chapter, starting with verse 18. Let's just read that. We have two accounts of there's four Gospels, but there's only two that really address the birth of Christ. The Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. And they stress different things. They don't just reiterate the same thing. They stress different aspects of the birth of our Lord. Let's turn to Matthew, and beginning with verse 18, first chapter, beginning with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus. He just talked about his lineage, by the way. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows: when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated means God with us. And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife, and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. God chose this couple. Just like in the past, he chose people. God knows the heart, knows people before like no other person, because he created us. He knew these two people. He knew Mary. He knew Joseph. He knew that these were the parents of the people, of his son, the son that would come into the world. And we see a little bit about them. Mary was just a virtuous, a righteous, totally trusted in God, totally obedient to God. And she was certainly the right person to be chosen. And her husband, Joseph, he was compassionate. He truly loved Mary. He must have been heartbroken when he found out she was that she was with child. His first thought was it wasn't his child, that she had been unfaithful to him. But yet he loved her. It was not willing to put her to shame, even though she betrayed him. But he loved her so much that he was willing to do it in secret, put her away in secret so she would not be to public shame. So what a love story. What a love story of two people that were put in this situation and totally trusted in God. And then the angel came to Joseph and told him, don't worry about it. This is of God, conceived of God. And the trust that had to take place in Joseph for him to contemplate this as something that had happened because God was going to do something wonderful to the world. So Joseph believed the angel. Mary believed the angel. Mary became pregnant. And this whole scenario, this whole thing was taking place. So Joseph listened to the Lord, and not only was he betrothed. Now, betrothal at that time was, in essence, marriage. People like to call it marriage without benefits. They were married, but they had no relationship, had no relations, and they were usually supervised, so to make sure that relations did not take place. So this betrothal period lasted for a while, and then they were finally married, which kind of makes sense. They got to know each other and got to realize how much they cared for each other before the whole thing became a little bit more intimate. The next thing that was happening was that an old couple, an old priest and his wife that had been childless all their lives, were now approached by an angel and told that they were going to bear a son. Zacharias was the priest. Elizabeth was the mother. When the angel approached Zacharias, Zacharias was a little bit skeptical. Said, wait a minute, we're old. How can we have a child? We're too old. Hey, Zacharias, do you remember Abraham and Sarah? They were old. They had a child. You had to trust in God. All these things required a tremendous trust in God. Tremendous trust in God. But Zacharias was still skeptical. And what happened? He was made mute. He was made silent by the angel saying, you're not going to be able to speak. So when Zacharias, he was in the temple, he was burning incense. When he came out, he couldn't speak. The people were marveled, and they realized that something special had happened to Zacharias. And Elizabeth became pregnant, a woman far beyond age of of childbearing years, became pregnant. Malachi foretold of John the Baptist in his writings. In 4:4-6, he's talked about Elijah coming. John the Baptist was going to be the forerunner of Jesus. He was going to be the one that to announce. And whenever a king is brought forward, there's always someone ahead to say, okay, there's somebody special coming. And that was John's job. There is somebody special coming. And I'm going to tell you about this. I'm going to prepare you for this. So Elizabeth became pregnant, and this was 6 months prior to the pregnancy of Mary. It's interesting because everybody around knew Elizabeth. She was the wife of a priest. She wasn't someone that was buried away someplace. What a marvelous thing, and what a miraculous thing for a woman that age to be pregnant with child. She was also visited by Mary. 6 months, Mary was pregnant and visited. She was related to her. We don't know what the relationship was. Some people say second cousins, but we don't know what that exact relationship was. But she was visited, and we all know the story about when she came in, that the baby in her womb leaped. John actually leaped in her womb when Mary entered the room, because he recognized the presence of the Messiah. Even in that early stage of pregnancy, he knew that that Jesus was, that he was in the presence of the Lord. We could talk about, does the fetus in the womb have feelings? Does it have emotions? I think it does. Let's just take a quick look at the faith of John the Baptist, the faith of Mary and Joseph, and the faith of Zacharias. Zacharias didn't believe when he was first approached. Mary questioned the angel, saying, "How can I have a child? I haven't had any relations with a man." But when it was explained to her that she was going to be conceived by the Holy Spirit, she totally bought into it. Joseph, again, was about to put Mary away when he was approached by the angel. But the explanation that the angel gave him, that this was from God, was enough for Joseph to take on that responsibility. To take on the responsibility of a child that wasn't his and raise it as his own, realizing that Mary had not had relations with another man, but was conceived by the Holy Spirit. The law of reproduction, or the law of God. Well, God made the law of reproduction. So if God made the law of reproduction, he can certainly do what he did. He can certainly make a virgin conceive. Jesus was called the Son of God and the Son of Man. Both. Son of God, Son of Man. Most miracles have a natural component. Something that was done by God, something that was done by man. No different in the birth of our Lord. God conceived in Mary. Mary had the child. So here's the God part, the man part. Other miracles, water to wine. Jesus didn't change nothing into wine. He changed water to wine. Loaves and fishes. He didn't just produce loaves and fishes out of the air. There was something there first. There was a basket that had a few loaves and a few fishes, but he made that last through thousands of people. Healing of the blind man. The blind man, he could have just said, "You can see." But no, he took some dirt, made some mud, put it on his eyes. Back in the Old Testament, Naaman, the prophet could have just said, you're healed. But he didn't. What did he do? He made him do something. He made him go to the Jordan River and dip 7 times. God's part, man's part. There's always God's part, man's part. Let's look at Luke 2, 1 through 7. Remember, we looked at Matthew. Let's look at Luke now. Now, remember, these two Gospels have, if you want to read the stories, you need to read both, because each one has a different take on the birth of our Lord. Okay, remember, Mary and Joseph they live in Nazareth. Mary's pregnant. Now, it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census to be taken all inhabited of the earth. And this was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to a city called Bethlehem, because of this was the house of the family of David. Obviously, Joseph was of the family of David. This is what his heritage. In order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. Quite a trip. Here's a pregnant lady, almost ready to have birth, taking a long, I think it's about around an 80-mile trip. And it's not like hopping in a car. And it was a tough journey, possibly even riding on a donkey or something like that. And being pregnant, you wonder, how did she make it? How did she make it all the way to Bethlehem? Well, guess what? The prophecy was that our Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. That Bethlehem was going to be the birthplace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Malachi, it talks about Bethlehem. And so that was the place, the city of David. That was the place where Jesus was going to be born. Even though they started out in Nazareth, they ended up in Bethlehem. Why? Because of this decree. God predicted he would be born in Bethlehem. It's interesting that this decree was presented and they had to travel to Bethlehem. Let's look at a couple of misconceptions about the birth of Christ, or about Christ himself, or the birth of Christ. That Christ was born in the year zero, that's not true. According to the calendar, he was probably born at least, he was born before the year zero. He was born in like possibly seven or year three BC. That's when he was actually born. And there was some mistakes made in the calendar, because the calendar, the designation is the year of our Lord. And when we say 2017, it would be the year of our Lord, 2017. But does not mean that Christ was born in the year zero. Also, another misconception is that that we know the month and the day that our Lord was born. There's nothing in the Bible that gives any indication of when this took place. We know it was a certain season of the time because of the shepherds in the field that had to be out, that they were out and about. The climate had to be of a certain temperature because it got cold in the mountains. So there's some speculation when it could have been, but it's not probable that it's the date that we use as we normally call Christmas. Another misconception is the wise men themselves. The wise men, that there were three of them, but there's no indication that we know the quantity of wise men. Because there were three gifts, people speculate that there were three wise men. That's totally speculation. And the wise men visited Jesus when he was in the manger or in the stable. That's a misconception, because The scripture said the wise men visited him at his house. So that's not, it was not at his birth. It was at a later date. And we'll learn more about that when we talk about what had happened. Let's dwell on the wise men a little bit. Who are these guys? They were astronomers, and they saw something in the sky that they had never seen before. They had studied studied the cosmos and realized that this was, and not only did they see this in the sky, but they had writings that talked about this star that was going to appear. Let's look at Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Go back to Matthew. And remember, Matthew talks about the wise men, but Luke says nothing about them. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Not only was Herod troubled, all of Jerusalem, when they made their entry. Gathering together all the chief priests, all the scribes, and the people, he began to inquire of them, "Where is the Christ? Where is the Christ, and where was he to be born?" And they said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called the Magi and ascertained from them the time the star appeared. And he said to them, 'To Bethlehem,' and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and make careful search of the child. And when you have found him, report to me that I too may come and worship him.' And having heard the king, they went their way. And lo, the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And they came into the house and saw the child with Mary and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed and went to their own country by another way." Here are men from a different country, not Israel, that had studied ancient writings, studied the scriptures, and knew that a king was going to be born in Israel. Isn't that interesting? The people that should have known didn't, but people that were far removed from God and from the nation of Israel had journeyed all that way because they had saw the star and realized that a king was going to be born. These were the Magi. These were the what they call the Magi. And you always wonder, why were people that were so far removed worshiping a king that should have been worshipped by the nation of Israel? And then there's old Herod. What was his take on it? Well, he was a fox. He was pretty foxy. He said, "I got these magi here, these people, and I can use them because I want this done in secret. I really don't want a lot of fanfare. If I can find out where the child is, or I can zero in on that, then I can destroy this so-called king because he's a threat to me. I don't want anybody coming along that's going to be king of the Jews. I want to be king. I don't want to be replaced." So he was going to use the Magi to secretly find the Christ child and destroy it. Well, he kind of got waylaid because they didn't comply with his request. So he had to do something pretty drastic. Once he realized that these magi had tricked him, then he went and he killed all the babies from age 2 to newborn, because he wasn't sure about the time. Remember, he wasn't real sure. So that also kind of indicates that the magi were there later, not at the birth of Christ. And it was predicted by Jeremiah that there was going to be. Let's just look at that. Jeremiah 31:15, that there was going to be wailing in that territory, because the children. The time is fleeting, so we won't look at that. But you can look at that on your own. So Herod was tricked. Jesus was gone. The Lord had told him, get Jesus out of Bethlehem and go to Egypt. And Mary and Joseph did that. So Jesus wasn't there anymore. But all the children that remained were killed by Herod because he wanted to destroy the Messiah. Last but not least, the shepherds. And you always wonder, why did he go to the shepherds? Here's people out in the field. Well, we don't really know. But they were an angel appeared to them saying that a great event was going to take place, and that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. And the shepherds acknowledged that. It could have been that maybe David was a shepherd, and that's why the shepherds were contacted. And Jesus was eventually called a good shepherd. And he frequently talked about his subjects being his sheep, and how Jesus watches and protects and oversees his sheep. And so possibly symbolic of shepherds. But the shepherds did find out, went and announced it to everyone, that that a Messiah was born in Bethlehem. So you always try to come to some conclusion. All these events were taking place. All these signs that were apparent to everyone that this was something special. This was something divine. This was something of God. But yet, people just kind of blew it off. Men traveling hundreds of miles to see a king that was that didn't have anything to do with their particular nationality, but still worshipped him. Shepherds in the field announced a young woman becoming pregnant through the Holy Spirit. An older lady that was beyond her childbearing years bearing a child. All signs from God. It gives us a little bit of insight about our God, because who did he choose? He chose. He chose a kind of an obscure couple. They had no notoriety. Joseph was a carpenter, just a middle class or lower middle class family. Jesus was born not in a very grand place. Very simple, very unlike the appearance of a king. But yet, this is how God chose to present his child to the world. So the greatest story ever told certainly includes his birth. And we sang that song about the story of Jesus. And we talked about God doing his part. Well, Christ did do his part. He was born, but he lived a life that was sinless. Certainly one that we can read about in the scriptures, and we celebrate every Sunday. But yet, the birth was special. We don't have any examples of the early Christians celebrating the birth of Christ, but it's certainly an event that's worth worth our celebration, that Christ was born, that God loved us enough to send his Son into the world. Again, God did his part through Christ. He did his part, and our part would be obedience. And obedience would mean following the scriptures. Christ, yes, was born, but without our obedience to him, obedience to his commandments, obedience to how we can become Christians, then it's just a birth, even though it was miraculous, it's just a birth. It's meaningless unless we acknowledge that Christ came. He came to save to save the world from their sins. And this morning we'd like to acknowledge our Savior and be glad that he came, be glad that he loved us so much. But also, if you need to come to him, if you need to be a Christian this morning, the birth of Christ should inspire you to be obedient unto him and to join him and to be part of his group and become a Christian. So, as we sing the song, if anyone would like to acknowledge the birth of Christ through obedience, then come forward as we stand and sing.